Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in downtown Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Well, lo and behold, who do you think pops up here? But a guy I've known for a number of years. I'm going to give him the Humanitarian of the Year Award. His name is Dr. Kasha Patel. He is quite a interesting human being. We're going to talk more about that today. But he's, of course, most people know him around here from Carolina Blood and Cancer Care.
Correct.
He's an oncologist.
Uh-huh.
Tell everybody a little, just a tiny bit about your background. Not the whole thing, because
sure.
We won't have enough time.
I know. So thank you again, Manning, to join you on this wonderful show, and welcome all the listeners. So I'm the oncologist who treats cancer patients during daytime, and then rest of the time I go around the world and try to kind of understand the problem. So, you know, cancer health disparities, running the national organization called Community Oncology Alliance, identifying some new trends in the disease, and I feel that I'm developing an ecosystem that instead of compartmentalized, fragmented cancer care, we want to build ecosystem that looks at human being as a whole, not as a fragment.
In fact, what has been interesting since we've got kind of re-engaged here recently,
uh-huh,
is you have found a connection in your research,
uh-huh,
between just general poor health, people not taking care of themselves, going to the doctor regularly for checkups, and cancer.
Correct. So we've seen the relationship between overall deteriorating health of the nation as a whole. So since COVID pandemic, we've seen that people are not going back to the doctors on time to get screening done. But also we are seeing an alerting trend in some unusual cancers as well.
Now, let me just add up one other thing here. So people understand when I say the Humanitarian of the Year Award. Dr. Patel here, a couple of years ago, established a foundation called No One Left Alone.
Correct.
NOLA.
NOLA.
And the whole idea was when somebody needed cancer treatment and walked into his offices,
mm-hmm,
and did not have insurance or the means to pay for it,
uh-huh,
this foundation basically picks up the cost.
Absolutely. So the foundation not only picks up the cost, but also for those patients who are totally uninsured, we work with, you know, pathways, which of course you are proud kind of developer of that, where we together provide insurance fund as well, because I can find, you know, the drugs and everything else, but they still have to go to other doctors and hospital. So we are learning from building up an ecosystem of the unmet needs, financial toxicity, housing issues, shelter issues, insurance needs, transport issues, and we are working together with pathways to really build up a nice example for the country as to why no patient should feel that in this terrible journey with cancer that they are left alone.
In fact, you, Carolina Blood and Cancer Care and Pathways, have got a relationship, as I understand it, whereby people who come to Pathways for help,
correct,
and we can see that they're healthy, I mean sick, and they need some help,
uh-huh,
will be sent up to Carolina Blood and Cancer Care.
Correct.
And vice versa, you see somebody who comes into your doors that needs help,
yes,
beyond just the medical,
uh-huh,
you're sending them down to Pathways.
We do work together in like symbiotic relationship, but my another dream is that, you know, before the end of this year, I'll have a small dispensary at the Pathways. I'm working on getting funding for that so that there could be 1 or 2 days a nurse practitioner can be hired that could come and take care of people through the Pathways directly there as well.
Well, so with all this going on,
yes,
I don't know,
sir,
how you have worked in some more time to try to figure out how the world of COVID,
yes,
relates to all of this that we're talking about. So what have you been doing?
So post-COVID, what we started seeing was that as we were going back to the recovery phase, there's a whole new term called PASE, post-acute sequelae of COVID, or what they call COVID long haulers or a long COVID. About 8.5 to 15% patients with COVID will have some form of long COVID. Now, what we don't know is how long is a long COVID for, number one. What we don't know is how complicated it is. But some of the figures are emerging that our country, listen to this word, will need $368 billion with B every year for next 10 years, amounting to close to $3.7 trillion. I think we should pass this amount on to the debate that's going on between the President and the Congress right now.
Yeah.
But I think, so some of the healthcare experts are warning that long COVID is not something that we should take it lightly. And so I'm very keenly aware and interested in exploring how do we deal with that.
Now, long COVID is basically what the name says.
Yes.
You know, most people get over COVID in whatever, 30 days or
right.
45 days. This is people who, this thing just hangs on and hangs on.
And it's not infectious. The long COVID, I don't want people to think that's infectious. It's basically after the COVID infection phase is gone that you don't remain infectious anymore. Our body has some remnant from the COVID RNA. And this RNA can float around and create inflammatory response. And inflammation is the cause of multiple problems. Inflammation of the heart can cause heart attacks, arrhythmias. Inflammation of the joints can cause autoimmune disease. So there are multiple manifestations. The brain fog is a real thing. And now we are concerned about, can this long inflammation trigger some of those dormant cancer cells in the body as well?
Ah, so there's where you come in on this.
Yes, sir.
So you have found, I guess on a preliminary research basis, that some people who have this long COVID are more susceptible to getting cancer?
We actually got the other way around. So we started noticing some unusual cancers that we don't see typically more than once or twice a year.
Right.
And in the last 2 years, we've seen some very unusual pattern and trends. For example, there's a condition called cholangiocarcinoma, cancer of the bile ducts. We typically see one or two a year. We've seen about 8 or 10 in the last 1 year alone. And a lot of them came at very young age and died. The other thing we are seeing is multiple cancer in the same patients. Now, all of these are linked to, we checked the long COVID labs, and we found that at least half of them had explanation of the indication of the long COVID symptoms, unusual course in cancer, and some of the patients are coming back almost 17, 18 years after they were in remission. So this is definitely a worrisome trend.
Wow, So now, are you alone doing this research, or are others that you're communicating with finding the same kinds of things?
So after I noticed this, I started sharing my concerns with my colleagues. And some of my colleagues said, yes, we've been noticing this. The problem is, Manning, is that we are so busy right now with the work in terms of, you know, long COVID complication, heart disease in my cancer patients, all of this, we are dealing with that. So. But I reached out to a couple of other colleagues at national level, and they all said they have seen the lab evidence of a potential fragment of microRNA that can trigger tumorigenesis. So that's the reason why I'm getting the group of about 10-15 experts together from across the world, and this will be the first long COVID inflammation and cancer summit that we are planning to host to really get brains and think tank together to, you know, maybe come to some sort of consensus and ask for the call for action.
All right, that's a perfect segue into what we really wanted to get onto. This connection between cancer and long COVID has been, I guess, acknowledged by enough people.
Yes.
From all across the world.
Yes.
That you have managed to bring them all together.
Yes.
Right here in the Charlotte area for this summit that's coming up this week,
Thursday and Friday.
All right, now I need to step back, because this guy who's on the radio show here today has been side by side with President Barack Obama.
Yes.
Tell me some of the others.
President Biden, Secretary Clinton. I've been even President Trump.
Okay.
Mick Mulvaney.
Yeah.
All the governors.
All right. So, you know, He's gotten around. People know him. They know the work he's doing. And I have to tell people, because I think it's important for them to understand, this man, Dr. Patel, puts his money where his mouth is. He's taken his own resources, donated them back to this cause, to Pathways, to others, because your whole philosophy on life is pretty interesting, and you might want to take a minute and talk about that.
Yeah, so the way I look at my life is that I'm more like a spiritual being wrapped up in a human body. Nothing is going to go with me when I leave this world. But if I can make a difference in anyone's life, that's the purpose of living as a human being. So I see myself as a part of the ecosystem. The only thing that separates me and you is a physical body concept, but we all are one. So how can we make life as a trustee, custodian, and steward of humanity and all living beings and make it easy for everyone?
You know what? I think I'm going to charter a jet, and maybe we can get in this 4 o'clock meeting this afternoon between these Democrats and Republicans who are making who are making no sense at all about trying to work together.
I think we need to teach them.
They would throw us out of the meeting. They wouldn't pay attention to us at all. All right. So the summit, one step back. You've also written some books.
Yes.
And you've got a spectacular book on photography that you've done. Is there anything else? I mean, where do you find time to do all this stuff?
You know, I don't listen to a lot of, I don't watch television at all. Very few selects the things that I read and write. So that gives me enough time, but also do a lot of meditation. So when I'm actually with myself, by myself on my golf course, I sink down into my soul and it rejuvenates me and my resources.
Is this before or after you make the putt?
It's both.
Oh, my goodness gracious. All right. So the idea for the summit, where did that come from?
So what happened was about 2 months back, I was interviewed by one of the national medical journal on my concerns about long COVID and cancer. And they put my interview on the social media. So I got a weird call from the NASA scientist who actually is the president of the International COVID Research. He said, I'm seeing a lab evidence of this. Would you be willing to help us getting together some of the top-notch experts from the world so that we all can share our research and come to a common platform? So I took it on myself, and I first said, you know, I'll be happy to spend my own money because this cause is more important than me. Fortunately, so many friends stood up and said, no, we'll work together with you. So as a result, I'm able to get 8 or 9 faculty from across the world in person. 2 scientists from London are joining. I think 2 people from France and I think Spain want to join as well online. And about 4 scientists, including the top leaders in the oncology space, they all want to join remotely or personally. And some of the, I know that Senator Wardeen plans to come as well, who's our actually Senate Medical Affairs Committee chair. He saw what I'm doing and he says, I need to be there on table. People from JHIC are coming as well because they all want to see what do we need to be prepared for future for the long COVID, whether it's inflammation, heart disease, brain fog, or cancer.
So you've got a couple of dozen people.
Yes, sir.
Coming from all over the world.
Yes.
People who are like you.
Yes.
Who are scientists.
Published research, you know.
And you're just going to share all your notes.
Yes.
And see if you can come up with some kind of resolution as to what all this means and how to address it?
Call to action. So basically what we need to do, so maybe establish a 10,000 patients, what we call prospective research registry, look at how, what happens into their kind of course of disease and then come to conclusion, because long COVID can linger on for many years. And then if that's the case, then we need to intervene. So we could help pharmaceutical companies develop drugs. It's not just intellectual curiosity. The call to action is find the root cause, find the inflammatory markers, and see if there could be targeted drugs that could be developed to reduce the risk of long COVID.
Isn't that something? That would these drugs be given to people who not only have COVID, long COVID, but to others who, just like me and you sitting here, who don't have it?
Well, I mean, the whole idea is that any inflammation, so inflammation now we know is the root cause of cancer, heart disease, partly diabetes, brain disease. So if we find a common denominator of an inflammatory marker, even if somebody didn't have cancer, this could be used, tried, and then applauding them as well.
I would think that the audience for this would not only be the scientists, but the pharmaceutical industry as well. Wouldn't they be interested in all this?
They all are coming.
Oh, they are coming? Yeah. Okay, all right.
So labs are coming because they want to partner with us in finding out what lab markers should be doing. And the pharma companies are coming because they want to see if they have an asset set or if they could develop a new asset that could be helpful in addressing the inflammation from the long COVID that can trigger complications.
So is that an unusual partnership between the medical community and the pharmaceutical group to be able to work together without one going one direction and the other going the other direction?
You're right. I think I always believe in assimilation, and there are times that we have compartmentalized approach, but in this cause, I think everybody feels that they have a social obligation to be here.
That's going to be very interesting to see how that shakes out.
We'll see.
Because, you know, the pharmaceutical companies, they're a for-profit operation.
Yes, sir.
Right? And you guys are more about, we just want to get the problem solved for humanity.
Right, exactly.
And how you marry those two so that you still are working together.
Well, imagine if a company can find that they have a drug that can block inflammation that is resulting in a complication.
Oh, yeah.
You probably have over 100 million potential candidates. So they see huge, huge kind of both philanthropy and the growth potential both. Right.
Well, if I know you, you'll structure this in such a way that if the pharmaceutical company comes up with an idea based on what you all have done together, you're going to make sure a percentage of that goes back to humanity.
Of course.
Of course. All right, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. All right, fresh subs and salads prepared 6 days a week. Here at Substation 2, there is a way that we do it. Everybody who's been here before knows how it's done. At the count of three, are we ready? One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
What's new at Substation 2 is not on the menu board, it's on your phone.
This is Charlie Ruffalo.
Go to the App Store, download our new app, order the best sub anywhere online, and it'll be ready when you arrive. And don't forget the free stuff you get with our new rewards program. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Why do you take investment advice from a mutual fund or insurance salesman when you can work directly with a genuine money manager? If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see the difference for yourself. 324-5044 or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
Now open. The new Piedmont Medical Center, Fort Mill, featuring personalized and comprehensive obstetrical services, 24/7 emergency care, and skilled surgeons who know the importance of getting to know you and your family. Piedmont Medical Center, Fort Mill, providing care for the Fort Mill community by your local community. Care that feels like home, close to home. Learn more at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com/Fort Mill.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Finally, there's a rising rate you can get excited about. For a limited time, only 15-month certificates and IRAs at Founders Federal Credit Union have reached super levels. A $500 deposit is all it takes to make these rising rates work for you. Hurry on over to foundersfcu.com/superrates today to see just how super these rates are. Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply. Membership qualification required. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's new at Substation 2 is not on the menu board, it's on your phone. Go to the App Store, download our new app, order the best sub anywhere online, and it'll be ready when you arrive. And don't forget the free stuff you get with our new rewards program. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI.
brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
Here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, Dr. Kasia Patel with Carolina Blood and Cancer Care, which is kind of his part-time job. Because he's too busy solving big issues around the world. Yeah, very interesting. So we've got this summit.
Mm-hmm.
And now tell me what's going to be happening. It's a Thursday and Friday summit? Is that how
it's
going?
So Thursday, I really want everyone to come and hang out just for a small reception. Starts at my house at 4 p.m. And then we all will head out to Zinicola's, my favorite restaurant in the Valentine Village, Italian place, for dinner and informal chat between scientists.
Right.
And then next day from 8 in the morning till about 3 p.m., there will be a series of PowerPoint presentation. There will be about 100-plus people who will be logging with the Zoom. And at the end of each presentation, we'll talk about common denominator. And the last hour is dedicated to summarizing the event, call for action. If there's a consensus that, yes, there's indeed possibility of this microRNA fragment of the COVID-19 triggering inflammation that triggers complications that includes heart disease, brain disease, autoimmune disease, and probably cancer. So the studies we're trying to create a bridge between the lab research and what we are finding. So it's called the translational research concept.
So who's going to be the facilitator for this conference? You?
You. So it's going to be me. I'm the host, and I'm also co-chair of this conference, and the president of the International COVID Research will be my co-chair. So two of us are kind of MCs and facilitators.
But as you point out, probably the most important thing out of this conference,
yes,
is to reach some consensus,
yes, sir,
as to what the next step should be.
Right. So it's going to be call for action. So we have enough evidence, that lab evidence showing that COVID can trigger cancer. So then how do we create a research potential for next 1 or 2 years? How do we study this phenomenon of inflammation and cancer and COVID? And then request the pharma partners to see if they have an interest in working with us to build up a drug that can intervene and reduce the risk of long COVID inflammation, and potential consequences includes heart disease, diabetes, brain problem, and cancer.
All right, so explain to me how the research would be done. If you all agree we're going to make the next step, which is a couple of years of research.
Right.
How do you do that? Do you all go back to your respective parts of the world and find people who have long COVID and start?
So our purpose here is Manning, we'll be selecting about 15 or 20 research, practice like that of ours, and we all will identify patients with suspected long COVID and who have unusual course of cancer. Then we'll be measuring their labs that consensus is built upon, and then follow the trajectory of those patients versus those who did not have long COVID. We'll also look at the vaccine history as well, and then find out patients with vaccine, long COVID, and what happens. Patients without vaccine, long COVID, what happens. Patients without long COVID vaccine, what happens. So we'll have like 3 or 4 arm study, but that will be decided at the summary of the event.
And I would imagine you also would have to come to some consensus as to what kinds of data are we going to collect. What kind of questions are we going to ask?
Yes.
What kind of history are we going to pull?
Absolutely, yeah. So we'll be collecting all the clinical information, the biological information, the residents, everything else in addition to, we'll be doing the scans for time and time again. So there will be very comprehensive clinical data collection along with pertinent labs and the scans.
So this is no small undertaking. If
it's
you're
not
able to
no, not at all.
And so at the end of 18 months or 2 years, whenever you've got all this stuff together?
Yes.
What happens then? We all put it together? Somebody.
So we'll be having annual summits on long COVID here to just track the data. And also 2 years from now, so this again is subject to funding. So we'll have to request different sources of funding, public source, private source. If funding is available for the research, then we'll be publishing interim reports, and in 2 years we'll write a consensus statement and show that, you know, yes, it shows that there's a element of inflammation that can be targeted with the help of a drug, a chemical, and that may help in reducing, alleviating, or, you know, almost like neutralizing the impact of long inflammation from COVID.
So before the pharmaceutical company can work on the actual drug,
yeah,
they need this data first?
They need the data first.
Huh. And but you're also going to be asking them to jump in to make this research possible, because this is going to be expensive.
They are going to, most likely, I've spoken to two or three big pharmas, and they're very much willing to look at supporting us here.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Now, here locally,
okay,
we've got some big hospital systems here.
Yes.
You know, we've got Tenet.
Yeah.
We've got, what do they call them? It's not...
MUSC.
MUSC we've got here.
And then Novant, and then Atrium.
Atrium, that's what
Atrium.
I see. Okay. So are you going to get them involved at this stage, or are they just kind of sitting on the sidelines?
They're sitting on the sidelines right now. So what I've seen is that people like me who are seeing patients day to day, they are noticing, I've not seen a lot of movement from our area. I mean, there are definitely... when someone from Johns Hopkins comes, I think they are concerned about it. But in general, I think I've not seen a lot of movement or interest from the local area.
But if they... I'm just trying to guess. I guess I'm trying to figure out where you're going to get your patients from. Now, your patients would be people who walk into your office, obviously.
Yeah.
But you're going to communicate with the local medical community and say, we're doing this, and if you've got patients, send them our way?
So we can select 20 centers, and they'll do what we do here. So I think I have enough relationship with national groups, mm-hmm, that I can find 20 centers who can find 500 plus patients each.
Okay. So it looks like you got this all figured out.
Kind of.
So the next step is a summit.
Yes.
All right. And I would imagine, is this summit open to the public, or is it just really for the scientific guys?
I think so, but I think people like you can definitely join if you want to kind of broadcast a message. We have like 75 people space right now that kept it.
Sure.
And then anybody who reaches out to us, we give them a Zoom option so they can log in virtually as well.
Right.
Yeah, but if there are people who are definitely interested in addressing the cause, we'll make it open for the people.
Well, my guess... my guess is most lay people would not understand anything that's going on here, because you're going to be talking in another language that only those who are trained in the medical field will begin to understand.
Yes, sir.
Well, this is great work. Have you ever done anything like this before?
No, this is like my first population health major initiative. So NOLA is something we tried in a different direction. That's more about access to care. I've done research, published over 100 papers at different journals. But they're all kind of confined to my clinic. This is actually almost like a philanthropic work. The last quarter, the last medicine, the last mile, and the last breath.
All right, so Kashyap, tell everybody where we can find your publications, your books that you have written.
So I have a website, kashyappatel.com.
Ah.
And that website has, you know, my book, which is Between Life and Death, published by Penguin Random House. That's one. Then there's another book, From Raindrops to an Ocean, and my photography book. So I have a website that actually people can go on. It has all of my narratives for the whole life, beginning from my work at the NOLA, my research publications.
Good. It's K-A-S-H-Y-A-P.
Patel.
P-A-T-E-L.com.
Correct. And it also has, you know, my interviews with New York Times, Washington Post. Yeah.
And he's quite a speaker, too.
And, of course, you know, with WRHI.
That's true. All right. Kashyap, thank you for what you're doing. Thanks for being here today. I know you're a busy guy, and I appreciate you cutting out the time for us.
Thank you, Edmund, my friend, and look forward to seeing you hopefully this weekend.
All right, and that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program. Live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax You with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Once again, fresh subs and salads produced 6 days a week here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, between 10 a.m. and 9 p.m. How do we do it at the count of three? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice.
Garden, garden, garden. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.